I want to talk to you about the fact that you look amazing. Jane Seymour is one of the most beautiful women in the world. And, of course, she is genetically blessed, but you're in your 50s.
Yes.
And you look amazing. So how do you do it? What have you done to deal with aging?
Well, I'll tell you, it's what I haven't done. I mean, honestly, I look around me, and I have not done, I'm not doing Botox, I'm not doing all the face.
Yay!
I have not had any kind of dermabrasion of any kind, or any abrasion, or any of those things. And I actually have my own line, actually, called Jane Seymour Natural Advantage. So I know that.
Mac, wasn't your mother in the skin business? Didn't
yes,
she do skincare?
She had her own skincare line, and in fact, she started up just before the war and then got incarcerated for 3.5 years in a concentration camp and managed to bring her ingredients in. So for the first at least month or so, they had no food and they were being tortured, but they did have skincare.
Wow.
Which we always
have. Well, now I know where you got your resilient spirit.
I know. She's a pretty amazing woman. And actually, she's in the infomercial for the skincare. She's 93 years old. And
amazing.
She's pretty
amazing. So how has she managed, aside from skincare, what's the key to her longevity?
I'll tell you. The key to her longevity is to give back and to help other people. She said that whenever you feel that life is tough or that things are insurmountable in your life, if you just go and do something to help someone else and don't expect anything in return, she said your problems will subside.
Wow. I love that.
She's right.
Did she grow up in England?
She actually was from Holland, and so she grew up in Holland and then went to the Dutch East Indies, Indonesia, which is where she was incarcerated. And then after the war, her dream was to come to England and work in a cosmetic company, which never happened because she met my father, who's a doctor, got married and had 3 children.
So, wow. All girls, right?
All girls, yes. I'm the oldest. And then there's Sally, who works for the airlines, and Annie, who's a homeopath and a school secretary in England.
Now, the name Jane Seymour, wasn't Jane Seymour Henry VIII's second wife?
Actually the third wife.
Because the third one.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. That's how you learn your history in England. And Jane Seymour was the one that died of preeclampsia, which, believe it or not, I actually had and nearly died from. So. One of my horrors was that, well, it's actually, it's a very high blood pressure that you get if you're having, in my case, twins. I had twins when I was 45 years old, and suddenly my blood pressure spiked, and what happens is your kidneys and liver kind of break down, you die from it. But in those days,
but you didn't.
You die from it. In these days, you have a really good gynecologist who's watching for it, and then you don't die from it.
Wow. Now, your twins are approaching their teen years.
Well, they've just turned 11. Yeah.
Okay. So soon.
Yes.
In the next
they're
couple of years.
And the girls.
But they're boys.
They're boys.
So they're easier.
Well, I don't know. I've had boys and girls. They all have their moments. But I think you may be right. The girls.
At least during the teen years.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've already done the first batch, so we know what we're looking for. And they've seen the first batch go through it. So we've already made an arrangement with them. We've said that you will not be a teenager. You may have that age, but you will not manifest any of that.
And I love that. And have they agreed to that?
Well, they have, but, you know, they don't know what's going to happen once.
Yeah, they're still sweet and innocent.
Yeah, they are.
What advice do you have to people raising teenagers?
I think always keep the door open and make sure. What we did is we kind of told the kids that it was like they were a horse and we had a bit in their mouth, and that so we would be holding those reins quite tightly, but every once in a while we would give them the freedom to do something, and if they managed to do it exactly the way that they had, you know, said they would, in other words, come back on time, not get into trouble, you know, that they would never even know the bit was in their mouth. And but just, you know, that we loved them and cared enough about them that the bit was there.
Right. And so what happened when you had to pull on the reins a bit?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, that would take forever for me to talk about that. And, you know, and probably, you know, this is, you know, a lot of it's private stuff. But
right.
Trust me, I'm incredibly proud of all our children. I mean, unbelievably proud of all of them. And none of them are spoiled, and the greatest compliment that I ever get is people that come to me and tell me that my kids, they can't believe that they're Hollywood kids, and I said they're not, you know.
That is a great compliment.
It really is. And
but, you know, the key to raising children successfully is not to spoil them, don't you think?
I agree, but I think the key to them is really being there. Most people just don't spend time with their kids, and You know, I'm there, we listen to them, we really care about what they do at school. We encourage them to do extracurricular things like music and art and sports, and we actually really, you know, take time out to be there and do it. I mean, James coaches and runs Little League, and I go in schools and teach art and design to kids, and you know,
that's,
and I make
so great.
Practice the piano, the guitar, the trumpet, and the trombone.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, you know, we all need to be raised by mothers with British accents.